Hey y'all, this podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong adult language. So if you are under 18, be out. We discuss our experiences, thoughts, and tips on ethical non-monogamy from the perspective of a Black married couple. We smart, but we not experts. So this show is for entertainment purposes only. So whether you're working out, driving, or listening to us on your home sound system, enjoy the show.
This is the Black and Kinky Lifestyle.
Yo, shout out to NK Swingers and a special shout out to Pegasus, who is just such a delightful person. NK Swingers is a podcast that is hosted by a melanated pair, Pegasus and Omari the Rebel from New York. And we had the pleasure of being on their show. Probably by the time this releases, that episode would have been released. But I'm not going to recap the discussion we had. I'm just going to talk about the word cock for a second. So the word cock, what do you think of that word?
I mean, I don't really ponder on the word often. I wouldn't say it's a regular part of my vocabulary.
Right. But when you're referring to a penis, how do you talk about it? What's the word that you tend to use?
Dick. Or penis.
Penis or dick. Is there any other word that you use? I don't remember hearing one.
No. I mean, in the hierarchy of words that I use, it's probably dick and then penis and then cock, I guess.
I've never heard you say cock outside of bitches be calling Black niggas dicks, BBC, big black cocks, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, the word cock is not a word that I use very much either. Like, referring to my own dick. But I'm wondering, why is that? I feel like the word cock is like, it's an outfit that only a few people could wear. So clearly, like, elephant in the room, like, white women use the word cock.
Right. Well, I definitely think it's a cultural difference. I don't know where that cultural difference stems from, but it's definitely there.
I just think it's kind of interesting because of all of the women I have smashed in my time of smashing, only one Black woman referred to my dick as a cock. And she was the most perverted chick I know, so I think she watched a lot of porn and just sort of adopted it. But when she said it was cool. I was like, oh shit, she said cock, right? Give me that big cock. And I was like, wow, interesting. But I don't think I want, like, the sisters I'm smashing to be using that word. Like, it doesn't fit. Like, when I'm fantasizing about a woman dirty talking, she's never saying, Black women in particular, and Spanish women, we're going to get to that in a second, she's never saying cock. She's always saying dick. And Spanish women in particular, dick, that's the word. Like, could you imagine a Spanish woman with a Spanish accent saying the word cock? I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you mean Latinx women, but yeah.
What did I say?
Spanish women.
Okay, Latinx women.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's wrong to say Spanish now?
Well, that puts the colonizer on the forefront.
Okay. All right, we're going to have that show today. Well, what about like words for vagina?
Pussy.
Punani. Okay. But when you're thinking about what guys will call your pussy.
Mm-hmm. It's pussy.
You like the sound of that word?
Yeah.
Okay. What about, let me figure out some other ones. What about cunt?
No.
No? Twat?
No.
Oh, wow. Twat always sounded kind of cool to me.
What?
All right.
How does twat sound cool?
Twat? I don't know.
It sounds like a smack. Like, it sounds like very aggressive.
I'll twat the shit out of you, bitch.
Right, yeah.
See, that's how I feel about cock. It sounds so aggressive. Dick sounds aggressive, too, but it sounds like the kind of aggressive you would invite over to cookouts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a word that a partner you called your genitals that you did not like?
I don't think so. I mean, I've definitely heard, others refer to vaginas as, or vulvas as, like a pocketbook, and that's just weird to me.
I just want to lick your pocketbook.
But that's like, I've never heard pocketbook in a sexual manner. It's more been like old ladies.
Oh my gosh. That don't want to call. That's interesting. Pocketbook? Uh-huh. I guess that would be a clean way of saying it. Yeah. I just want to say the word vagina always sounded really, really odd to me. Like, it sounds like a disease. It's not.
No.
But it sounds like a disease. But I always like the word vulva. But I would never say, girl, I just want to.
But it is actually the vulva.
Yeah. That's the correct term. Yes. Vulva. Sounds pretty. All right. Let's start the show. This is the Bomber
and the Bell.
So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about swinger tunnel vision. I think it is a very unique phenomenon. I don't hear a lot of people talking about. Maybe we all know what it is, but I want to talk about this as a concept. It's a concept that I put together, but it's something that I have experienced, and I know other swingers have experienced, and to some degree, some in vanilla circles have experienced it. We're going to get into what it is, but it is really when you are focused on one particular goal, focused on one objective, focused on one experience, and you can't see nothing else. And there are some costs to that level of tunnel vision. But we're going to get to that in a moment. Let's talk about the hit list.
It's time for the hit list.
The hit list is basically a list of folks, celebrities, semi-celebrities, people we just seen around the block that, you know, we might like to get down with. So mine, I would say, is a classic or a throwback, if you will, but is the impeccable Usher Raymond.
Usher?
Yes.
What?
Like, so, and I posted this in our band chat, but he recently did a tiny desk concert with NPR, and it was just so good. He looked really good. He had on this weird neck chain thing that was kind of weird to me, but besides that, like, he looked really good. Like, his voice sounded great. Like, he's just so smooth. I feel like, I don't know, I guess he just stays under the radar for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a little bit of drama, like when he first got married and all that kind of stuff, but for the most part, like, he's been a scandal-free R&B artist. And I feel like if you don't have scandals, like, you don't get as much hype. He was just really sexy in that, and just, I feel like Usher does not get the credit or notoriety that he deserves.
True, Usher be killing it. Usher, God, how many albums did this nigga come out with?
When he did the Tiny Desk concert, I think he said it was like the 22nd or something anniversary of My Way, which is like crazy.
Wow.
But yeah.
Yeah, and he hasn't changed a lot.
No, not at all, really. Mm-mm.
Shout out to Usher. I feel like he was wearing all black. I feel like he had a turtleneck. He was rocking
it
a turtleneck.
No, it wasn't a turtleneck. It was like a turtleneck. Giant ass choker.
A what?
Yeah.
He was like, wearing a choker?
That's what it looked like. Oh, I don't know if shit. It was a shirt or if it was like actually a choker. But it was like, it covered his whole neck. I don't know. It was an interesting fashion choice. Despite that, he still looked good.
Yeah. So my hit list target this episode will be May Kalamawe. I think I'm butchering her name. Mm. So there was a show called Rami we were watching for a while. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what channel it was on.
I think it was FX.
Yeah, it was probably FX. But she played his sister, but she was also in the Moonlight series as the love interest. I think she's super sexy Egyptian and Palestinian actress. And I she was in this one really cool action scene involving a mummy that I thought was really cool. And I just like her face. I just like the expression she has. There was this one scene where she was looking at this dude. I'm not going to spoil it, but she was looking at this dude and she was just like putting on his uniform or whatever. And you know, it was arousing her because she was reminded of this body that her man used to have, and she kept looking at this dude in the eye, and then she tried to kiss him, and I was like, oh shit, that is sexy. That she was tapping into some real shit right there. Mm. Like, she was getting aroused while dressing this man, and it really showed in her face. So I'm just gonna say May Calame, because I'm going to butcher that last name, but we'll have all this information in the show notes, along with clearly a link to Usher's performance.
Yes.
and you can check it out for yourself.
You are listening to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast.
Hey, to all you sexy listeners out there, I know y'all just loving this episode, but if you have been tuning in monthly to hear Bomber and Belle, you have to check them out on Patreon. Every week, they upload more steamy details of their play sessions, hilarious stories, and erotic private photos. Go to www.patreon.com/blackandkinky and donate at least $2 a month to get exclusive access. Hope to see you there.
So let's get into the topic of the day, swinger tunnel vision. So let me just define it for you. I've been waiting to talk about this topic, and I'm so excited to talk about it because swinger tunnel vision is something I've experienced. I've seen other people experience it, and some of y'all will know what I'm talking about. But swinger tunnel vision, it's when you're focused on pursuing one lifestyle experience at a time. Once you make the choice, you risk the attention or noticing all other potential experiences that may be available to you. Sometimes in a lifestyle, especially when you go to like hotel takeovers, I know a lot of people went to NIN this weekend, and you probably got caught in this experience where that's the couple you're going after. That's the orgy you're going after. This is the experience you're going after. And you're just trying to get there. You're trying to prepare for it. You're trying to make sure you see when it's time to leave to the playroom. You might be making a rendezvous with another couple. Meanwhile, you could be missing all these other experiences that are happening. Mm-hmm. There could be another couple coming after you. There could be like another really good experience that could be in your realm of possibility, but you might miss it because you got that tunnel vision. So I want to talk about, this is actually not going to be that long of a topic. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this, but I wanted to, do you understand what I'm saying, Belle? Like swinger tunnel vision?
Yeah, but I think you have that more than I do, or you experience more than I do.
You see, I think that you are wrong.
Okay.
Okay, maybe I do experience it more, but I feel like you experience it as well. But I feel like the reason why it might seem like we experience it differently is because typically in a lifestyle experience, I am... I got one for you. So typically in a lifestyle experience, I might be going after one couple, and there might be all these other opportunities open to me, but you may not see as many opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't seem like you experience it as much as me. But there was one party we went to where there might have been other opportunities. I think you were like, okay, let's check out some other opportunities. And I was like, well, no, I'm kind of focused on this one because I know it's kind of a guaranteed sure bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you think I was the one pursuing...
Yeah, that's exactly what you just said.
Right. But you decided that we were just going to go with what I was going for.
Well, I think we decided, and this is very recent again, like we made this kind of rule, this, I guess, you know, I'll say the Cinderella rule, right? So by this certain time, if there is no opportunity, or if this is the only opportunity that has presented itself clearly, then we're either going for that or we're going home, right? And so I was seeing what other opportunities there were, but it was the bewitching hour. And so, we went for the one that was there. Which was fine, which was nice. It was a good experience. My thing is, again, it's like novelty, right? So like if there's these new people, but those aren't guaranteed. So, but I'm also interested in, seeing that what else is out there.
The thing was that even that night, I remember that there were other couples there that had ended up leaving.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm aiming for this couple. I'm going to focus on this couple. But they left, right? Luckily, they did, because if they were still there, I might have been trying to get that. That might have been my tunnel vision. And we probably would have missed the experience that we ended up having.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you go after one couple or single... during a night at a club or something like that. So that's a time where you could end up missing all the new faces that were there that might have been trying to catch your eye. Mm-hmm. There might have been a group that was looking for you. But if you just focus on that one couple, it's a lot of shit you're going to miss. There was one time, one good example where we were with a group of people going to this African restaurant. This was after the 420 festival.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what happened that night?
We went to dinner or drinks or something with a couple, and then we were supposed to, and we focused on them, and basically it went nowhere. And so then nothing ended up happening because we were focused on them.
Yeah. But more particularly, before we went to drinks with them, we were already with a group.
Right. Yes. So we left the group to focus on them. Yeah.
Right. And we left that group because the noise that there was, we were in this fucking African spot and the music was bumping, and it was like, yo, that was a environment to be like dancing in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this group of people, you know, there was, you know, like enough room on the dance floor, and I was about to kill it. I was about to get down. And there was this other couple that was part of that group, and this was one couple that we were really attracted to. We were trying to close the deal
because,
yeah, honestly, I was trying to play that night. I was trying to make shit happen. And so we decide, you know, this couple was kind of signaling that they wanted to go somewhere a little quiet.
Yeah.
And so, like, right before we had decided to do that, I'll never forget, like, the chick that was there with us that organized the event, she started, like, once I started moving, because, you know, I got my little pre-dance before I jump in, you know what I mean? I'm swaying my hips or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a little two-step. I'm like, you know, so I'm doing my thing, and she sees that, and she, like, she puts her purse down on the ground. I know it was about to be on. She got a fat ass, nice waist, and, you know, she put her shit on the ground because she was like, oh, I'm about to dance. But that was right before you, I think you looked at me and signaled me like, yo, it's time to go. And then I was like, oh, all right. And then I just left.
Uh-huh.
We all four of us left, gone. And I could imagine it coming off rude,
yeah,
to the people that were there.
Yeah.
Which is one of the risks of tunnel vision. When, right, you focus on that one couple, like, niggas start disappearing. You'll be at a hotel, like, check this out. You'll be at a hotel, you know, takeover or whatever, you know, you be with a little crew and you like, you thinking this orgy shit is gonna happen, and you know, we might be there and we might be with another couple, and then all of a sudden, like, fucking four people just disappeared and left without saying goodbye.
Well, I think that's what happened with the house party, right? So like, a lot of people came together and I think, yep, they were focused on playing with each other and they left together, and I was like, oh fuck, my whole fantasy just,
yeah,
went out the door.
Yep. Yep, a whole crew just left. They came in, sexy couples, we greeted them, knew them, then they were gone.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, there's a lot of things that could give you that, you know, sometimes you just have that tunnel vision where it's that one thing you're going to do, but you have to kind of sacrifice shit. Sometimes it's voluntary where you're purposely ignoring everything else that's going on because you know that this one experience you're after is like a once in a lifetime thing. I think that might have happened to the Sweet Life with Tris when she really kind of got into that BDSM experience they, mm-hmm, were talking about from what I think was PCAP Encore in, mm-hmm, Dallas. But I could totally understand it. Sometimes you see experience in front of you and you're just going to go for that experience, or you're just going to be focused on it. Another time when I have swinger tunnel vision is when we're walking to the playroom.
Okay.
Okay. Found our couple, or maybe we didn't find our couple. It's just like, yo, when it's time to smash, when your body is like, fuck time, like, swinger tunnel vision comes after you in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking when we're walking towards the playroom?
If we're walking there with a couple,
we have sealed the deal. We are going to smash. Can you see anything else?
Yeah, I'm gonna see what else is going on. Like, I'm like, I just, and that's my personality. Like, I can't be that focused. Like, I'm still gonna be kind of tuned in to, mm-hmm, whatever else is in the atmosphere.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm just going to say, I've seen you give the fastest and fakest greetings on the way to the playroom. Like, you ever been
but
to
But I'm
the,
still greeting, yeah, people.
So you ever been walking to the playroom and then they'd be like, oh, pal. Somebody walks in. Somebody's just now walking in. You are on your way to the playroom. You've been working so hard to make shit happen with this couple. And then somebody walks in the front door while you're going down in the basement. And then, hey, Belle, I haven't seen you in a while. You're like, oh, hey, it's so good seeing you. I'll talk to you later. Like, I'm just going to go down. I'm going to go downstairs real quick. I'll talk to you later. I'll be back upstairs. Yo, see, dudes aren't like that. Like, you see the bomber, like, headed down to the playroom. You'd be like, yo, bomber, what's up? Oh, I know what time it is, nigga. Have a good time. You know what it is. That's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. You know, you focus. So yeah. your whole thing changes. If you're not on your way to the playroom, maybe you'll start up a conversation. Maybe you'll see right, where people yeah. been at, all that shit. You ain't doing all that on the way to the playroom. That's all I'm saying. But there are some risks. There are some risks and consequences of tunnel vision. You can come off as rude to other people. Like, you just leave it. I mean, although, you tell me if this is wrong. Maybe the swinging lifestyle is a little, maybe the lifestyle is a little bit more forgiving. But can you come off rude to people?
I definitely think you can, especially if they're not, if other people aren't aware kind of what's going on. Like, they didn't see the interaction or whatever, and you just, like, all of a sudden dip, mm-hmm. you know, although people kind of know what it is. But, you know, you wonder, too, if, like, you've been talking to a couple and they maybe had some expectation in their mind that, you know, something was going to go further. But then you see a couple that you were either, you know, there to meet up with or have past history with. And you, like, again, you know, that's a sure bet. And so you switch gears and the other couple are like, wait, what happened?
So couples who might not be familiar with the dynamic.
Right.
May find it rude, like, especially if, you know, you came in with a group mm-hmm. and that's your group, that's the group you're sticking with, you committed to doing that shit, and then another couple is like, that you played with, is like trying to engage you, but you are not trying to include them in this group. Y'all mm-hmm. came together, y'all leaving together. Maybe it's another couple you came with, you left with. Actually, there was another example of that at a rooftop party we had attended. You remember that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember that? A couple came out from out of town and met with us. Yeah. And they were what was happening for us that night. They right. were ours. If another couple tried to take this couple from us, we would have came to blows because it was serious. We planned this shit. We invested time in this motherfucker, okay? Our tunnel vision was justified.
Another couple could have joined us, but that wasn't, like, in the original plan and would have taking some more coordination and conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, and that would have got fishy, because then our tunnel vision would, or my tunnel vision, because I would have been doing all the work, would have transitioned to, okay, we trying to smash this couple, to we gonna make this orgy happen.
Right.
Now the risk of that would have been if this couple that we had invited wasn't really feeling this other couple for mm-hmm. some reason.
Yeah.
We might have jeopardized that whole experience and may have walked away with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's true.
Or maybe we would have just ended up doing something else that would not have involved the epic play experience we ended up having.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted you to talk a little bit about the single guy at the pool that represented.
Oh, yes. So we went to a house party that had a pool, an indoor pool. It was really nice. And so.
No, it was really nice. There were these red fucking lights on the ceiling. I'll never forget it. Once I walked into that pool, I was like, yo, I think this is where I want to be for the rest of the party.
And I said, well, let's pump the brakes, because if we get in this pool right now, that's all I'm doing.
Yes. Yes. Because the rest of the party was kind of not anywhere near how cool this pool was to
right,
me.
Yeah.
So we ended up going in there towards the end of the night.
Yeah. And so we're in the pool. They have all these floats in the pool. And so we're just, like, on the floats floating around. And, like, on the side of the pool, there was this single guy. And I believe it was a single female.
We learned later that it was a single female.
Yeah. And so they were just, you know, chopping it up, having a conversation, whatever. And so, you know, we're just literally aimlessly floating around. And so we're floating in their direction. And we're like, I don't know, what did you say to them?
I was like, hey, we are floating towards you. So we're about to become part of your conversation. It was one of those comments. And when I said that, the girl was like, hey, yeah, come on down, come mm-hmm. on, let's talk. And the guy was really, really silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shakes his head.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, he shakes his head, but he hesitates for a second because he doesn't know what to do now. The girl's with him. She's like hollering, and, you know, our fucking flotation device is coming closer to him like Jaws. So he has to make a decision now.
Right.
Is he either going to embrace us or is he going to kick us away?
Yeah. And so he decides to kick us away. And so I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So, you know, you I guess you're trying to seal the deal with that situation. That's fine. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Trying to make that happen. So anyway, it gets, you know, closer to the end of the night. We get out of the pool and we're just like hanging around, you know, getting our clothes on, not like really making moves to leave, but, you know, just there. Right. And so I don't know. You went to do something, but I was just standing there. I don't know. Putting my shoes on, putting my clothes on, you know, drying off, all that kind of stuff. And I see him in the kitchen and like he's looking at me and like he keeps looking at like back and forth. I'm like, am I looking crazy? But then he was like giving me that look like, oh, hey, you know, that I want to, you know, chop it up, whatever kind of look, like seeing, trying to see what I'm about and that kind of stuff. And I was like, Nick, what? No, like you fucking kicked me away on my float in the pool. Yeah. Like, just because clearly things didn't work out with you and homegirl, don't be coming back over here trying to talk, say something. Nah.
Yeah, that was a real missed opportunity. But your man had tunnel vision. He mm-hmm. was just after that girl.
Yeah,
and it was one of those. Again, it's one of, and he was a single guy. So yeah. I was like, yo, first of all, I don't know. Y'all single guys out there, tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm a single guy talking to a single chick and she reacted to us the way she did,
mm-hmm.
we're doing whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what I want. Like, yeah, I'm trying to get in her pants, but like, if that's what she wants to do, just like bring us, you know, vibe with it, nigga. Like, yeah. What the hell? You know, he could have ended, you know, it's funny because he was a good looking guy. That might have been your MFM night, but fuck this nigga.
<It's> right.
You know, you're going to kick us away? Fuck you.
Right.
So anyway, moving on. Another consequence. So this is related. You can end up blowing off another experience that may have turned out better. So you can end up wasting a lot of time, money, and energy pursuing something that ends in failure. And yeah, swinger tunnel vision can be a bitch, a mm-hmm. real bitch. But the best thing about it is that if you actually get what you want, and some people do, sometimes that tunnel vision is warranted and it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be really, really risky. But there are some other things that can happen when it comes to tunnel vision that sort of falls outside the realm of just missing an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to have a little bit of fun with this.
Okay.
Yes. So quick consequences of tunnel vision. So you can't find your condoms, lube, and play bag because you were too focused on getting in the pussy. Another lost treasure due to tunnel vision. Y'all niggas been there.
Yeah.
All right. Losing lingerie because you needed to get naked as soon as possible.
All right. I don't think I've actually lost any lingerie. I did lose a swimsuit one time, but I ended up getting it back.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yep. Yo, that could be dangerous. Like, if you've been in the pool and you've been drinking and, like, you know, now, you know, you take your clothes off, niggas in the pool naked. It only takes a little bit of time for that to happen. But then, like, you start making out with another couple and y'all like, yo, let's just go to the playroom. And you're like, let me get my bathing. You know what? Fuck that bathing suit. Let's just get these towels and shit. Bathing suit. Gone. Right. Another one. So you got to the babysitter too late. Now you got to pay another $100 on top of the total. Looks like that last round in the playroom fucked you up. All right. Swing a tunnel vision. All right. So you can't sleep because you had too many monster drinks, nigga. Didn't think about that before that swing of tunnel vision. Some people drink a lot of them energy drinks real late at night, trying to make sure that their Johnson is working or their cock or their dick, whatever the fuck we're going to call it today. Speaking of such, that throbbing feeling that wakes you up in the middle of the night. You left your cock ring on, you dumbass.
Yeah, you've done that a couple times.
Yes, I have. Looks like you got trapped in that swing of tunnel vision. Grab the scissors, nigga.
Do you ever have to cut it off?
Nah, I've been tempted to, though. Cutting it off is risky. You got to put a blade quite near.
Yeah.
Quite near your balls. Why your jeans wet, though? You were on your knees eating pussy in the bathroom for 45 minutes straight. Take that shit to the cleaners because you got hit with that swing of tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got one more. yeah, you got a nut at the club. Now you walking back to see that bright ass piece of paper on your windshield. You're hoping that's a number someone left on your car, but this is 2022, nigga. That's a parking ticket. You didn't see that hydrant because you were too focused on getting in that swinger club. Got hit with that swinger tunnel vision. Yes, sir. Swinger tunnel vision is dangerous.
At least it wasn't a boot.
Oh, that's true. That'd be fucked up. I've never had a boot on my car, but damn, I would be upset. It's bright, it's all metallic and shit. Yeah. It's just covering your rims, and it's like somebody just violated your whole world. Put that, they touched your tires, nigga. Right. I did want to talk a little bit about some distractions that can happen. So there's tunnel vision, and then there are distractions. So I just wanted to say what a couple of them were. So my pet peeves, you know, when you like in the playroom or sex is happening and people are just having full-blown conversations.
Yes, not about sex.
Not about sex.
This is very distracting.
Yes, I hate when that shit happens. I mean, we talked about somebody having like, you know, people like bust all their nuts and then they feel like they can talk about anything because there's no more fucking to do. So they start telling the craziest stories, like they'll get comfortable, like telling fucking diarrhea stories and shit. So, yeah, I hate that shit. It happens in a lifestyle a lot because, again, people are really comfortable. Sometimes when you're in the club, people will kick you out of the playroom if you just there to talk.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. So titties and abs either in the background or the foreground. So like, like, you know, sometimes you're not even in the playroom. You just, sometimes we just having a conversation and then some nice ass titties would just be floating in the background. Oh yeah. Have you been, you don't seem to be distracted. Like I'll see hot guys all over the place, but you're just having, you can have a full blown conversation. You don't be distracted.
Not like that. Like, again, I can have multiple focuses, so I can see that and be aware of it and still have a conversation. What's a challenge for me is like when we're in a group of people and I'm having a conversation with someone, but there's other conversations happening that I'm kind of in, but not directly. And so then for me, it's hard to focus because I'm like, wait, I need to comment on this, but I'm talking to this person.
Oh, talking to multiple people at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I could actually do that. that part is easy. Yeah. It's all about like, sometimes I'll just tap into my gift for just talking to groups in general. And so I'll try to bring people together with these broad comments.
Yeah.
But yeah, usually if, and it's funny, if I'm talking to a small group, I think I could focus better. But if I'm just talking to one person, there's just too many other titties and shit walking around. It's just, I start stuttering. It's just weird. Like, I don't know if people notice, but I'll just like look somewhere else. The sounds of joy from groups, I feel like that could be distracting, especially have you ever, like, could you imagine how distracting swingers are when they're in a fucking, when in a vanilla setting?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So the sound of porn or porn in general, just the visual of it.
No, that's not distracting for me. No. I mean, unless it's like something really outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it's just really rough and fast and just intense. Like somebody's getting gagged or there's like fucking triple penetration or some shit.
Yeah. Like some fisting. I'll be like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm. yeah. Fisting. I can't do porn. Fisting porn. What about the sounds and images of others playing? Does that ever get distracting for you?
It depends. Not typically. Not typically for me. Unless it's like a really hot black group of people or black couple, then I'm not distracted.
But okay, so what? Like, I've been distracted by the weird moaning sounds people have. Like somebody once sounded like they were yodeling.
I don't think I heard anything like that before.
You were playing at the same time. That's why I think.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was at one of the hotel socials where it's like they must have been having a good time. But definitely some yodeling. The sounds of somebody giving like really sloppy head, that's not distracting for you?
No. Mm-mm. The sloppy head is not. Like, I'll do it, I'll do it, but it's not my favorite thing.
Have you ever been distracted while you were giving head?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what would distract you?
Too many instructions. Too forceful on the back of my head. Or if, like, people are having, conversations around what's going on.
Interesting. So distractions can come from the very person that you're playing with.
Yes.
Okay. Like, it's interesting because you're talking about head as something that requires lots of concentration for you. Is it a mindfulness exercise? Like, is it like meditation?
Yeah.
Giving head is like meditation?
Well, I think it can be. It's like a practice.
What is it that, what are the senses and feelings that you're paying attention to while you're giving head? Like, that's when I think of meditation, I'm like, oh, what's the temperature of the room? I could feel the warm air on my skin. I can feel the air going in and out of my lungs. Describe to me what the feelings you're having while you're having your giving head.
So speaking of sloppy head, how much moisture is there? Mm-hmm. Where my tongue is, where the dick is in relationship to my teeth. Where my hands are, how my hands are moving, how the dick is moving in my mouth or moving in and out of my mouth, the pace, mm-hmm. and the rhythm. Yeah, the tension on my neck, mm-hmm. the tension in my jaw. Mm-hmm.
So are you more so just paying attention to your form, like you're some kind of
yes
gymnast and you want to make sure you dismount?
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm. And also paying attention to the responsiveness of my partner. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm, you know, twisting really fast or I'm doing like tongue flicks, like mm-hmm. how is he responding to that? Mm-hmm. Like, do I need to increase the intensity? Do I need to decrease the intensity? Do I need to give him some eye contact? Like mm-hmm. those kind of things.
Does it matter what music is playing while you're doing this? Would you rather doing it in a silent room?
I don't think I would need music. I think mm-hmm. music with words would be a distraction.
Okay. So like some ambient
mm-hmm.
music,
yeah.
or maybe some instrumentals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next time we are in head mode, you know, we'll put some instrumentals on, some R&B instrumentals, maybe light some candles.
Okay. Yeah,
all sure. right. And then you can meditate on my dick. Yo, this is something important, I think, for guys to know too. Mm-hmm. I like that. I appreciate that. So we talked about some of the distractions. You know, I'm gonna say something about just in terms of distraction and about the way my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different part of my brain that I have to shut on in order to like get myself in the zone of having sex.
Okay.
And I know I'm not alone. Like, there's a certain part of my brain that's like, yo, it's time to smash. And then there's the other part of my brain that's, yo, it's time to just engage and mm-hmm. be comfortable with people. And so I feel like oftentimes I'll be talking to a girl and we'll be vibing, we'll be talking. And I'm just being myself. And if she comes out and says something sexual, mm-hmm. I'm going to miss it because that part of my brain hasn't shut on.
Mm-hmm.
But if that part of my brain is on, if the part of my brain that's after fucking, that's after pussy is on, then I'll be able to hear all that. But I won't be able to be as engaging because I'm just trying to smash. You know, and I think a lot of guys are in this zone. That's why we miss a lot of opportunities
mm-hmm.
Because like when we're trying to vibe with a woman, when we're just trying to, you know, get to know her and, you know, we might be playful with her or whatever. But, you know, when it comes to like, yo, sealing the deal and being like, yo, girl, I will fucking give you at least 3 orgasms tonight if you want them. Yo, that's a completely different part of my brain. I got to shut that on.
Mm.
Or a chick has to let me know that it's okay to shut on.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that. Like when it comes to distractions and shit, like that's one thing. I have to be aware of what part of my brain needs to be on mm-hmm. and popping. I mean, do you feel like you need to turn parts of yourself on and off depending on the situation?
Not those parts. More so the extrovert personality.
Oh, okay.
But not the, like, are we smashing or not?
Okay, so you don't feel like you have to be a different person at all when you're with another guy and, you know, you start kissing him. You don't have to, like, turn something on.
No.
Interesting. Okay. All right, because sometimes I feel like when I'm with someone else, I gotta, like, I'm just trying to be a sexy partner. I'm trying to be the sexy partner that she wants. And that flick, and that switch turns on. It turns on slowly, but it turns on.
That, I don't think, I mean, in terms of, like, putting on a performance, not unless we actually fucking. And there's a crowd.
Okay, got it. All right, Swingertunnelvision. I'd be interested to hear what you all, what are your experiences with Swingertunnelvision? Again, where you were really after something, someone, or an experience, and you just shut everything out. You left the party. You abandoned a couple that was interested in you. Any of that shit, I'd be happy to hear it. Let's move on to emails and DMs.
Vent. I have found myself having some interesting conversations that have been swinger related due to some type of popular news. I have been having a hard time being silent and actually starting to defend swingers. I've reached the point where I'm taking offense because of the unintentional statements of judgment. One of the main phrases that I hear is, "Ew, that is disgusting. We could never." So, of course, it feels like an attack on our character. I've noticed over several episodes and vignettes that it seems that the Voltron crew, other podcasts of color, are becoming more open, or at least the perception is there. So my questions are, do you guys feel as though you are being true to yourselves or starting to be more true publicly? Can you describe, if any, the level of frustration about the LS stigma, especially in these changing times? And do you ever take offense during a casual conversation when this type of topic arises with vanilla people? If so, how do you respond or handle it?
Okay. All right. So do you have a response to any of these questions?
Oh, do you feel as though you're being true to yourselves or starting to be more true publicly? I mean, I think that's still a balancing act. You know, we're not out. We don't have any plans to be out anytime soon. And so I think it's kind of, but not, you know, really. Like, if people ask us questions, you know, we won't, like, be, you know, completely deny and reject, and we won't, like, co-sign discriminatory statements or anything like that. But I guess as much as we can be authentic, we are, if that makes sense.
So one thing I want to do is shout out Casual Swingers, because they are now officially out.
Oh, okay.
As well as some other podcasters that we know. So I think, one, we've been a little bit more open to revealing more of ourselves. If somebody meets us as Bomber and Bell, we'll, like, tell them what our names are now more than we did before. Sometimes we are guests on other shows. We still won't show our face. And I'd say that, just interesting, Bell was talking the other day about how I'm actually, how Bomber is actually more accurate to who I actually am. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we are true to ourselves, but we are not prepared to take the risks of potentially coming out. But I'll tell you one thing, when I am talking to people, and I think it's important to just be truthful in general. But when I'm talking to people and they ask me about my relationship, like, I'm not actually that shy about saying that we're non-monogamous. I might not say that we're swingers, because honestly, in some ways, that's none of their business, right? Yeah. But, like, we're just not monogamous. So if you, like, fucking see me out in these streets kissing some other chick, I'm, my wife knows already. So I think in some degree we're becoming a little bit more open. The possibility of us showing our faces, though, I don't think is a likely one. Not in a very long time, anyway.
Can you describe, if any, the level of frustration around LL stigma, especially in these changing times? Yes, I think I've talked about the frustration that I have, you know, with LL stigma, and just in juxtaposition to how things, how conversation is changing around polyamory, because I think I feel like polyamory is having a moment and getting a lot of positive light. But even though we're kind of in the same universe, you know, swinging, if you will, it still gets a lot of negative commentary because, you know, it's not it's not, from a layperson's view, viewed as about relationships and community and anything like that, as compared to polyamory, which is, you know, about relationships and these, you know, long term bonds and those kind of things too. So, you know, we have relationships with folks, like we have friendships, right? Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily romantic relationships, but they're definitely friendships, which are just as important as romantic relationships. And although it's a lot about sex, we also care about these people, you know? And so, you know, we have fun, and yes, we do occasionally fuck strangers, but we also fuck our friends too. So I think it's, I would definitely like to see the conversation shift to mm-hmm. more positive commentary, mm-hmm. you know, regarding the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways that things like this become normalized is through media. Mm-hmm. And we're still seeing a lot of negative conversation in images and depictions of swingers, you know, all the bad things that are going to happen. It's going to ruin your relationship. It's going to ruin your marriage. You know, your husband's going to leave you for somebody else and this, that, and the third. And while that does happen occasionally, that happens in monogamous relationships, and that happens in polyamorous relationships. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just bringing that to the forefront. But that's also, you know, people have to be out and have to be a part of those conversations. Mm-hmm. And while we can't be those people at this time, we definitely want to support those that are there so that we can get those mm-hmm. more positive depictions out there.
Yeah, I actually do not think that the LS stigma has been looked at. I mean, I don't think that's changed too much. I think the stigma around polyamory may have very much changed. And I think, you know, I always bring it back to like, well, what would you be able to educate a child on? And polyamory, you can still talk to children about. You could still talk to a child about polyamory just like you would any other kind of relationship, and it wouldn't be like vulgar. Mm-hmm. But swinging is different. Swinging, unfortunately, it's the terminology used to define it is all about sex. It's all about exploring sexually. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, to, you know, most of the mainstream public, and this is not really their fault either, swinging is seen as a sexual lifestyle without boundaries. Mm-hmm. Even though there are boundaries, they're not really standard boundaries. Like, we have our boundaries, other couples have their boundaries, so you can't really define a blanket boundary.
Right.
And so it still seems really perverse to anyone who values, you know, relationships and stable relationships. This still seems perverse. But, you know, I'd even argue the polyamorous folks, they may, and often do, from what I hear, go to fucking swinger events.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this thing they do, but they may not necessarily engage with the culture,
right,
or consider themselves swingers for good reason, because there's a stigma, right? They might not mm-hmm. talk to their family about the fact that they went on a lifestyle cruise, but they'd have an easier time talking to their families about the fact that, yo, I have like a husband and a boyfriend.
Right.
So I think I don't have the frustration, because I understand that in the public view, swinging is still associated with a sexual lifestyle that has no boundaries. And to many people throughout history, that has been very dangerous. People are threatened by the idea of sex without boundaries, mm-hmm. especially now that fucking Roe v. Wade got overturned, mm-hmm. right? What's the next one?
Do you ever take offense during casual conversation when this type of topic arises with vanilla people? I don't take offense. And it depends on the group of people, whether I want to expose myself or not, how I will address the conversation. But I will typically address the comments just as somebody being ignorant because they're not a part of the community. And so they don't know, you know, what the actual truth is, right? So same if someone made an ignorant comment about, you know, the LGBTQIA plus community, you know, made an ignorant comment about Black people, I would address it in the same way. Like, I don't think that's actually the case. This XYZ, you know, whatever. And so, and if they continue down that road, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes you just gotta let people be ignorant, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, I try to correct it where I can. And yeah, it's, you know, it's not for you, it's not for you, but that doesn't mean you need to judge people.
We still got a lot to learn, man. And so what I'll say to you and everybody else out there who's been, you know, probably on the more enlightened end when it comes to sex positivity, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to the diversity of relationships, look, a lot of people are still on their journey. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people aren't going to know the same information about these lifestyles. I'm actually still learning a lot of shit, and this next question is gonna touch on that, but I'm still learning as I go. Like, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, and I know I said some ignorant shit 5 years ago about sex and sexuality. So, you know, we're all on our own journey, man. Yeah. So I wouldn't be too frustrated. All right, next question comes from IG.
So my first question is, what are your thoughts on icebreakers that require varied degrees of touching as well as mandatory dress downs? Do those qualify as manipulating the environment and circumventing enthusiastic consent?
So I absolutely think this depends. So one, if you let people know, first of all, you got to ask yourself, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Right? Why are you doing that? If you're doing it because I tell you one thing, if I was having a party, I'd probably have some of these things going on. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, everybody got to be dressed down by a certain time. I'm doing that so everybody feels more comfortable. And you know, we want the environment to be sexy. We don't want there to be diverged. We don't want people to be fully dressed and other people to be naked. People are revealing themselves. So if you want to be in an environment where people are doing that, then you have to do it too. Mm-hmm. That's, again, I am letting you know the boundaries and the rules about being in this space.
Right.
Okay. If you don't want that, don't come. Okay. That's different. I don't think that's circumventing consent. Mm-mm. But some people might disagree with me, but I don't think so. Also, no, like, if there's any mandatory touching, I think that's something to look at if you're throwing events. But mandatory dress downs, no. I don't think so.
I mean, I think of an example of the icebreaker is like the massage game, right? Mm-hmm. Which is not really a game, just massage people. But
until y'all start fucking.
Right. But there's still consent required there. So whoever the person is getting massaged, you know, they consent to what they keep on or take off. They consent to who they have massaging them. If they only want their partner to massage them, if they only want men to massage them, if they only want women, whoever, they consent to what areas of their body are to be touched. So if they, you know, nothing internal, don't touch my pussy, don't touch my butt, you know, don't touch my titties, whatever, they have to consent before the massage begins. Mm-hmm. To all of those things. And you're asking, is this touch okay, that touch, you know, okay. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing, not like consistent as you're, but you get the idea. Like, even though it's a icebreaker that requires some touching, you're still accessing consent. You're still making sure that person is consenting to that.
Right. Bell, this is one of the things that the host needs to make sure that they do. Mm-hmm. This is when it comes to facilitating some of these games. Sometimes people aren't going to come out and say what's allowed and not allowed. Not everybody uses their motherfucking words, but the host can come in.
Yeah.
And build that level of normativity where it's like, yo, are you comfortable with everybody touching you? Who's okay to touch you? Where are they okay to touch you? you know, throw those questions out. I think there are ways the event promoter, I'm so glad you said this because it reminded me that the reason why all the massage games we went to were so good is because, not the massage games, but the massage train. Mm-hmm. The reason why that was so well facilitated is that the host came out and was like, ask the question for the person getting the massage. Mm-hmm. You know, and people were really open to just saying what they wanted. Don't touch me here. Don't put no fingers in my ass. Like, right. You know, and all of that shit. So, yeah, absolutely. I think the answer to this question, this actually came from Urban Swingers. Shout out to Urban Swingers because they, you know, they throw a lot of events and these kinds of questions come up.
And I think in just talking about games in general, when you're talking about games or when you playing games, one, if you're playing games like with other couples or with a group, make sure that you and your partner have played the game first or at least looked at it so you know what to expect in terms of, yeah,
definitely,
you know, nakedness, touching, that kind of thing. And again, with those groups, and I'll give couple-ishes as an example, you know, there's a certain part of the game where like everybody's supposed to get naked, right? Mm-hmm. So one, you want to make sure that everybody in the group that's playing is okay with getting naked. You want to make sure that everybody in the group is okay with doing something with everyone. And even if they're not, like, you can always revoke consent, but just understanding before anything happens, this is the kind of game we playing. So say something now if there's something that you're not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But I think there's just opportunity to do that. There's always opportunity to get consent.
Yeah, I'm reading this book called Lying. I'll have it in the show notes. It's a really good piece, very easy read, but talks about just lying and what it does to our relationships, what it does to our society. And I love books like this because, like, we knew lies are wrong all the time, but I think lies are somewhat become so normative in our society. I caught myself saying, sometimes it's important to lie. But this book really challenged me, like, yo, nah, you don't have to lie. A lot of things you don't have to lie about. So I feel like when it comes to consent in particular, people feel like they have to lie or withhold the truth because of some fear of spoiling the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the second question say?
Is the act of gaining enthusiastic consent looked at as mostly male to female, or is there a dynamic that women should also be aware of where men are empowered to speak out about earning their enthusiastic consent? This is a good one because women rarely ask for consent, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I think it definitely needs to go both ways. Definitely needs to go both ways. But I would say, yeah, 95% of the time, men are asking women for consent, but women are not asking men for consent.
No. What the fuck does enthusiastic consent look like coming from a man?
I know what you're gonna do.
What am I gonna do?
Yes. No.
First of all, have you ever heard me respond that way to anything in the playroom?
Like, probably, yes.
No.
Yes.
No. 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 Look. All right. So you remember when we went to Shadows? We went to Shadows, and I was just kind of doing my thing on the dance floor. Chick comes up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Thick, black, big titties, fat ass comes up to me.
Mm-hmm.
She comes up and she's dancing with me, right? And I'm just trying to dance. That's all I'm trying to do. And I notice that every time I start dancing with her, she starts feeling on my body, putting her hands down my crotch,
mm-hmm.
putting her tongue down my throat. And then she releases herself and she looks at me in the eye and she says, "Bomber, can I suck your dick real quick?"
Not real quick.
Yeah. And you know what I said?
What?
No. You know what I didn't say?
What?
Yeah! I said, "Aight, sure. I'd like that. Thank you very much."
No, you tried to play it cool.
No, I mean, that's how I am. You're like, "Yeah! No, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to see me do that shit." No. But that's how guys are, man. We accept it cool. We be like, "You know what? You got it." You know? So, but it's interesting that you're asking the question. We're going to do a part two on our consent episode, which is where these questions are coming from. So shout out to Urban Swingers, because there's a lot of feedback we got off of that episode and we appreciate it. I'm glad that resonated with people. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, enthusiastic consent coming from men. Nah, we don't need that, because.
Yes, you do.
No. No, because I mean, I guess, but men, no, men aren't gonna do that shit. Like, we're gonna play it off cool. Like, all right, yeah, you suck my dick, fine. I mean, I think the real thing is, this is the problem with consent and with all kinds of things. We think if one group does it this way, then the other group has to do it that exact same way, and that shit just isn't natural to men.
That's true. You know, but I guarantee you, if it's a chick you're not attracted to trying to suck your dick,
she's going to get an enthusiastic no.
Yeah, right. But this is assuming that she asks for consent.
Because I can always... See, the thing is...
You going to mush her? Like, you should have seen him move his hand. You just going to mush her head away? That's what you going to do?
If I mushed her head away, there's no more offer of head. All right. It stops it right there. Like, that's no. It. Like, all I have to do, if I put my hand up, if I'm just like, I'm never going to hear from her again for the rest of life. No woman will accept that. Like, even the one with no self-esteem, no, like, whatever. Like, she has no self-worth. If a man puts his hand up after you offered him head, it's over. It's over. If you have any other questions for us, hit us up on IG. Hit us up on Black and Kinky Lifestyle at Gmail.
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
Get ready for some Facebook fuck shit.
So, before I met my wife, I used to let her crackhead mama suck me up when I was trapped.
Oh, shit.
I don't sell dope no more, and Miss Loretta is a pastor.
Oh, shit.
But whoever said the apple don't fall too far from the tree, a lie. Because my wife can't suck dick like her mama.
Damn.
Too bad Miss Loretta saved now.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
See, I wonder if Miss Loretta had her daughter before or after she was slanging pussy on the Because then she might have, you know, changed the ways and then didn't tell her daughter, didn't teach her daughter the way.
Old women know how to suck dick better.
Do they?
That might just be it.
Do you have personal experience?
They got more experience. I don't have personal experience with chicks who get, yes, I do. Yes, I do. She was 40 years old. I was in my
20s. Oh, okay. Well, that's not old.
No, it's not old. It's older.
Yeah, it was older than you at the time.
I don't know. I think older women know how to work them lips better. And they're not afraid. They're not trying to look glamorous when they
do
it.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just trying to please that dick. Or that cock. Which one did you like better?
The dick.
All right. Well, thank you for that Facebook fuck shit. I want to talk a little bit about a little something. Speaking of penises and shit, this is important.
Peni? Okay.
Peni. All right. So I want to talk about a book that I've just finished. It's called The Multi-Orgasmic Man by Montauk Chai, or Chia. It is a book about, being multi-orgasmic. Thinking about the last Lovers and Friends podcast, where they did an episode on ego being the biggest cock blocker for men, and talking about how men enter the bedroom already thinking that they are masters of the bedroom, that they are able to please women because they have learned so much and they have so many skills to apply, even though they may have never picked up a book, you know, gone to a workshop, been coached, got special instruction from an expert, a sex positive expert. They still think they are the masters of their domain. And so shout out to Lovers and Friends podcast. I'm going to have their link in the description, because I thought their episode on this phenomenon was particularly important to hear, because I think a lot of men are driven sexually by their ego. And I hope that, you know, the folks that are listening to this, the men that are listening to this, if they haven't already, yo, make sex education an ongoing thing for you, because there's a lot of things you may not know. And after reading The Multi-Orgasmic Man, there was a lot of shit I didn't know about my own body. The Multi-Orgasmic Man is far more than being multi-orgasmic. It is a book that really teaches you about how powerful your body is, how much strength you have, and how many capabilities your body has in order to please another individual. You know that I have, like, it's an iPhone 11, I think I have. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'm using my iPhone 11 the same way I used my iPhone 8. I use it to make calls. I use it to text. I use it to engage my favorite apps. But there's so much more phones can do. Mm-hmm. And you show me it all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some examples. Do you remember anything off the top of your head?
Sharing the Wi-Fi password.
Sharing the Wi-Fi password without actually having to tell somebody the Wi-Fi password. Now phones can do that shit.
Yeah.
You can control our Google Home with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn off the lights and shit.
Yeah.
You can turn on the vacuum cleaner, the fucking robot vacuum cleaner. There's all this shit that the phone can do, but I'm still using it the same way I use my old phones. That's how I feel like a lot of men are using their dicks. Like, you're using it the same way, even though there are all these books. And I don't need a book. No, your dick can do things, yet you just have no idea. First of all, the whole idea of being multi-orgasmic is alien to a lot of guys. But after reading this book, no, it's not. It's a very empowering book that tells you that this isn't just true for a few guys. This is true for you. It has all of these real exercises that you can actually do at home. So there's a lot of talk about strengthening your pelvic floor, which I feel like is something that comes up for a lot of women. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as men, there are ways we can do the same. So it also talks about, like, you know, when you pee, there are certain exercises you can do in order to strengthen your ability to control your ejaculatory orgasm. So peeing and then stopping the stream midstream and then peeing again and then seeing how many times you can do that.
Which I didn't realize this was, like, not a thing for men, because like, women do this all the time.
Yeah. And
when you told me the first time, I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, you girls are a little different. Why would you stop the stream of urine? I'm sorry.
Is somebody about to bust in the bathroom?
Oh, yes. I think you have developed through evolution, the ability to stop your urine. But men, some men can't do that. Like, it takes time for them to do that shit. But the point is that there's all these real world exercises, and I really appreciate it about this book. Now, the question you might be asking is, you know, Bomber, so are you multi-orgasmic now? And the answer is, yeah, the answer is absolutely. There's a more complicated question, though.
Mm.
Belle, are you comfortable with me not having ejaculatory orgasms?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Not because I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be too much sex. That's not the issue. More so, it's the ejaculation is more accomplishment, achievement for me.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I guess.
Yeah. And you're not alone. I think there are a lot of women like that, that were like, you know, if it was good sex, you want your man to, like, you know.
You want him to come, yeah.
Shoot that mayonnaise.
Right. Shoot up the club.
Mm-hmm. Well, not shoot up the club, right? With a condom on. Well, I guess you want me to shoot up your club.
If you're my man, whatever. Not if it's a play partner, obviously.
Yes. This book will be in a description. I'll put the link to buy it. I definitely think this is a book that all men should read. Yo, this is, if you never heard of this book, please pick it up, check it out. I'm telling you, it'll teach you a lot about your body. The other book that I had recommended was She Comes First, which is all about the woman's body. I think this is a good combo with The Multi-Orgasmic Man. All right. Moving on next, just a few Patreon shout outs. Ray Day, I think that's DeAndre or DMDre, TJ99, and Jack, thank you so much for being on our Patreon network. And I want to just say a few things about Patreon. Basically, a band spotlight. There was a conversation we had in the band chat, and it had to do with, first of all, it started with us talking about the fact that all the women in our neighborhood don't seem to come outside. And then we said something about the fact that we have a lot of vets in our neighborhood. And then the question, or the thing that people really started talking about, was that there are so many black vets in the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to know why that was. Mm-hmm. And this is a question I am posing to everybody out there. Why are so many vets in the lifestyle? It's something that we want to talk about, and we'll probably have a vet or two that are on the show to talk to us about it. I know it's not one of those things that's easily Googleable, because sex in the military is supposed to be really, like, bad or something. So yeah, we'll be curious to hear about that. Y'all have a good one. Peace out. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please do check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Black and Kinky. You can also find us under the same name on Cassidy, APG, Amore Getaways, and Patreon. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube under Black and Kinky Lifestyle. Feel free to email us at blackkinkylifestyle@gmail.com or call and leave a voice message at 937-462-0744. Bye.
Black and kinky, black and kinky,
black and kinky lifestyle.